Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link on this Wednesday, the 18th of July. My name is Ipora Nyambura.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. So make sure to leave us your comments on the stories we are covering. Coming up. South Africa and the world at large celebrates Mandela's 100th birthday.
He sacrificed his career as a lawyer. He sacrificed his freedom, even as he faced the prospect of a death sentence. So we honor Nelson Mandela. There is no one like Nelson Mandela.
That is South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa. Of course, there are mixed reactions about his legacy. But what do many young people across Africa think about it?
The most important legacy he has left us is the freedom that we have today, like the freedom of speech. Right now, I can communicate with whoever I want to. I can go whenever I want to. I can be educated. As he would say, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
That's right. It's Mandela's Day and we have a lot lined up for you to mark this day. Plus, of course, your reactions and comments on our social media platforms.
Make sure you don't miss that and other interesting stories that we have lined up for you. Before that, let's first hear what has been making headlines around the world.
I'm Eddie Micah Jr. with DW News. The first commercial flights from Ethiopia to Eritrea took place on Wednesday as air links were restored after the end of a 20-year state of war. The flight marks the latest step in a peace process between the two countries. Those on board included people seeking to reunite with family members after many years of separation. Also on board was former Ethiopian Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn.
Ethiopia, I hear when get by yours. Yezario, Ethiopian, I hear that the statue in Mudu, I hold in the bus.
Without Ethiopian Airlines, peace with Eritrea today would not be complete. Our first step to reform with Eritrea has begun with Ethiopian Airlines.
South Africa on Wednesday marked 100 years since Nelson Mandela's birth. Mandela's birthday on July 18th is celebrated annually around the world with charitable works. The Nelson Mandela Foundation called for people to take action and inspire change in his name in this centenary year. In Johannesburg, former US President Barack Obama told 200 young people attending a leadership course he has set up that Mandela had been a key inspiration in his life.
Most people around the world think of Mandela as an older man with hair like mine. What people, of course, don't recall is that he started as a very young man, your age, trying to liberate his country. He then inspired me, and I got started in my work.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said he would donate half his salary to charity and called for others to do the same to mark Mandela 100. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. About 20 people died after a boat carrying 150 migrants sank off the northern coast of Cyprus on Wednesday. More than 100 migrants were rescued, while at least 25 people were missing on Wednesday afternoon. Turkish and northern Cyprus coast guards and commercial boats in the area were carrying out search and rescue operations. The 12 Thai boys and their football coach, who were rescued after being trapped in a flooded cave for over 2 weeks, spoke publicly for the first time on Wednesday of their ordeal. The boys announced their plan to temporarily ordain as monks to honor the death of Saman Kunan, a Thai Navy SEAL who died during the rescue. Doctors said all 13 were in good physical and mental health after recuperating in hospital. The German government has launched a renewed attempt to declare three North African states safe countries of origin, making it difficult for people from these countries to apply for asylum. Legislation, which aims to reduce the migrant influx to Germany, would add Algeria, Morocco and Tunisia, as well as Georgia, to the safe country list that so far includes all EU members, six Balkans countries, Ghana and Senegal. Passage of the bill into law is, however, far from certain, as there is strong criticism from Germany's Green Party, which says that certain groups, including journalists, are subject to persecution in the countries concerned. For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I am Eddie Micah Jr.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. My name is Jen Nyinge.
And I'm Zipora Nyambura. And thank you to our listeners on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Tochuku Onuko is saying happy birthday to my leader, Nelson Mandela.
That's right. We begin in South Africa, and the country today marked 100 years since Nelson Mandela was born. The former president and anti-apartheid revolutionist died in December 2013, yet his legacy lives on and will continue to do so throughout the world.
In commemorating the day, former US President Barack Obama hosted a youth leadership project. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, a protege of Mandela who took office this year, said he would mark Mandela 100 by donating half his salary to charity and called on others to follow suit. Tuso Kumalo with more from Johannesburg.
The Nelson Mandela's rural home of Mvezo in the Eastern Cape came to life as South Africans from all walks of life gathered to celebrate his centenary. Today, Mandela, who was born on the 18th of July 1918, would have turned 100 if he was still alive. The celebrations started early in the day with Mandela's own family, with the support of the business community, distributing blankets to the elderly, sewing machines to women of the area, while students from poor backgrounds received bicycles to ride to school. Then it was time for President Cyril Ramaphosa to address those who gathered for the centenary celebrations.
He sacrificed his career as a lawyer. He sacrificed his freedom, even as he faced the prospect of a death sentence. So we honor Nelson Mandela. There is no one like Nelson Mandela.
And Mandela's grandson, Mandla Mandela, said there could be no better way of honoring the good work of the struggle icon.
If there's only one word I should use to really describe my grandfather, is that we should be of service to our communities that we live in, to ensure that we continue the fight of bettering this world we live in and ensuring that we live in peace and prosperity.
An organization calling itself 67 Blankets for Nelson Mandela Day distributed thousands of blankets to the needy across the country. These were hand-knitted blankets made by thousands of volunteers across the country and abroad. Caroline Stein, founder of the organization, says touching so many needy lives on behalf of Mandela gives a good feeling.
All those thousands of blankets have been distributed around the country, inspired us all to make a difference in people's lives, and that's what we are doing stitch by stitch. We are creating blankets and at the moment scarves for people that need extra warmth.
In marking this day, former US President Barack Obama was in Johannesburg where he addressed young leaders from the continent.
If you're willing to take the risk and undergo some of the challenges and the hardships, your chances, your odds of being transformative, of shaking things up, are going to be higher here than they are in some major world capital. Man, if any of you come to America, you'll do wonderful stuff, but it's less likely that you revolutionize how education is done in America than it is how you revolutionize education in Tunisia.
The participants were drawn from 44 African countries that are attending a leadership course he has set up to inspire young Africans to solve their own problems.
Tuzo Kumalo for us there in Johannesburg. And on our Facebook page, we continue to receive a lot of messages. As Musa Elson says, happy birthday, my wonderful hero.
Yeah, so you can also contribute. Just go to our page, DW Africa. For many people across the world, he will forever be remembered as the man who led his people to freedom, who suffered under the vanquished evil of apartheid in South Africa and built a new democracy with wisdom and vision.
But millions of people are alive today who were not even born when Mandela walked out of prison a free man. Nevertheless, they are joining in the celebration for his birthday and legacy. But what does his legacy mean? We hear from various people across the continent.
The most important legacy he has left us is the freedom that we have today, like the freedom of speech. Right now, I can communicate with whoever I want to. I can go whenever I want to. I can be educated. As he would say, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
For me, it's freedom. Nelson Mandela brought us that opportunity to be free, to vote, to have the opportunity to vote, and the opportunity to achieve our dreams.
Well, to me, he was somebody who was able to bloom and to reach his full potential in any sort of disadvantaged background or setting that he grew up in. So that means that it's possible for anybody to do it.
For me, I think he's been one of the icons that have brought about a change in where we have grown up. You know, his introduction to the whole political scene and everything kind of brought about change for us as black people. We've been able to go places that we probably wouldn't have if it wasn't for his influence and what he did at the time.
I'd say, yeah, pretty much in the same words, I'd say opportunity opened up doors that we previously couldn't walk through because of the times that he lived in, and he managed to open these doors for us, and now we're here in Germany, for example, where it would have been so difficult to do what we do our music full-time and be able to travel and, you know, meet all these people that we've met.
Yeah, I'd say he's a man who had a dream and a purpose and was able to convince everybody else to believe in his dream and purpose, and it was fulfilled because of that.
Zippy, it's really interesting to hear what people think of Mandela's legacy.
Yeah, unfortunately, people are still divided as others continue to call him a sellout. So there are very many divided reactions on that. And of course, we did ask on our social media, WhatsApp, our democracy a pretense, or do we still have leaders who follow the example of Mandela?
And we've got varied opinions. Charles Songole John from Kampala says the actual pretense of Africa politics is rulers who pride in dignity of pride, greed and violence. These are the curse of Africa. Otherwise, most Africans have a heart for real democracy that should move on a lot and forward.
Omar also agrees with this and sent us this voice message. Take a listen.
Politics in Africa has become something else. We no longer look at democracy in Africa. For instance, when you look at countries where there is frequent constitutional change, like that of Cameroon, you will realize that nobody wants to leave power. And in such countries, we cannot talk of democracy. We talk of dictatorship because the president wants to dictate what they want.
Thanks, Omar, on your thoughts, and you are in Cameroon. But Steve from Italy thinks it's happening and young people just need a chance.
Young men are there, ready and eager to work, to develop and to bring change in the African countries especially. I remember one man talked about Obama, that Obama became the president of America. What if Obama was just delivered and remained in Kenya? Maybe he could have been a bus driver by now. Though it was funny, but it was actually, I saw it as being something that's true. There are many talents that are lost. Either they are lost in the countries or out here in Europe and America.
That is Steve giving us his views from Italy on what exactly democracy means for him on this day of Mandela Day. And of course, Twitter was awash with comments and reactions on Madiba's day. Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo said Nelson Mandela gave us an example of sacrifice, of dedication to principle and devotion to freedom that is without equal in the annals of African modern history.
And Mr. Raila Odinga, who is an opposition leader in Kenya, says Madiba will always be in the collective memory of mankind as a powerful role model for all those who are involved in various forms of struggle against oppression, as well as seeking to improve the lot of their people and ultimately humanity as a whole. Everyone is talking about Professor Patrick Lumumba. Also, speech at a university in Matata said, what would Mandela have said today if he was still alive?
Yeah, that's the big question. Many are saying, he said that Africa produces instead of consuming what is produced. And that is all. Thank you for your comments.
You're listening to Africa Link program. My name is Jane Nyinge.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Join us live on our Facebook page if you're not there and share your thoughts.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, the pain of becoming a man. We'll hear about the cultural circumcision in the Bikisu region in Uganda.
They remove three layers from your manhood. In that shortest period of time, the first layer, the thick one, the obvious one, it is not so painful. But there is the second one, which is very light, like soap fume. And then the last one, which is more painful than any other thing on earth.
That does sound like a very painful experience. We'll also hear more from Ghana about the genetic modified food.
But first, we head to a UN report where the number of migrants and refugees around the world is increasing and many countries are currently struggling with illegal migration. Despite the UN member states agreeing to back the Global Compact for Migration, many nations are not convinced how it will end the growing crisis.
One country, that is Hungary, has already pulled out of the UN compact today, saying it will make its country insecure. The Global Pact is billed as the first international document on managing migration, but there are fears it has set high expectations and it is not legally binding. My colleague Anke Rasper talked to Louise Albul, UN Special Representative for Migration, on why the new compact is needed.
Well, I think we just have to look at what happened in Europe, you know, starting around 2015, to realize that the fact that the United Nations had never before seriously and in a global fashion addressed human mobility, it produced the kind of chaos that happened then, and that is actually happening in lots of other parts of the world, but maybe less visibly with less media coverage. So I think it generated a consciousness that as much as states are very wary of any encroachment on their sovereignty when it comes to migration issues, they've also come to understand that it can only work if there's a better cooperative framework. That's the genesis and the impetus for where we are today.
As you said, there is currently a lot of problems that illegal migration is causing in many countries. And obviously, there are very different interests of the countries involved. How difficult is it to even agree on new regulations?
These are not regulations as such. The Global Compact is, broadly speaking, an agreement by member states to cooperate with each other through a variety of initiatives towards a series of objectives, essentially to increase safe, orderly, and regular migration, and therefore to decrease a disorderly, unsafe, chaotic, illegal, irregular migration. I mean, that's the general framework. The other thing that I think is really important to keep in mind is, even though we often think of countries in a very stereotypical ways, like we think of Europe as an area of destination and we think of Africa as an area of origin, in reality, in the world today, most countries are everything. They're countries of origin, they're countries of transit, they're countries of destination. At any given time, in the negotiations, I think the member states came to realize that there was a lot of common interest. There's lots of disagreement. We have to be very clear on this.
Can you give an example?
Well, for instance, there was a lot of debate about what are the best ways to discourage irregular. Member states understand that it's their interest and it's in the interest of migrants to increase legal channels and then they disagree, actually, on what response they should give to the situation of irregular migrants. Well, actually, the compact itself very explicitly recognizes that states have the right to determine their migration policies. However, what the current reality shows us is international cooperation is the key to the preservation, actually, of state sovereignty.
Louise Albul, UN Special Representative for Migration, talking to my colleague Anke Rasper.
And Zippy Okeno Onyebo says, DW, how about tasking the governments from those countries people are trooping to Europe to make life better for her citizens. So keep those comments flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
On the spot.
Now, culture and traditions are often seen as the backbone of any society. They impart pride, identity, and dignity to people and are passed down from generation to generation. But some cultural practices that can trace their history back centuries are also highly questionable, particularly in modern societies.
An example is amongst the Bamasaba people of eastern Uganda. Imbalu circumcision is still practiced as it has been for centuries. The practice is still compulsory for every young man on the brink of adulthood. As preparations for this year's circumcision season begin, anxiety among the Bamasaba boys about to undergo this practice is high. Frank Iger reports from Uganda.
Mtoto Cultural Ground in Mbale Town is a hive of activity as preparations for the forthcoming circumcision event take center stage. Here, Moses Kutoi, the custodian of the Mbalu culture, says the ground is already being leveled for the event.
Every even year, we do circumcise. So many other activities take place. We begin with the dances called the Isonja, that is strengthens the candidates to get used to the mood for circumcision. We know that such and such a boy will get circumcised in this year. So our candidates are always prepared. We don't just ambush them. And even the boys grow knowing that he must be initiated into manhood.
A blunt knife might sound brutal to outsiders, but as Dorcas Wamono, a married woman, explains, an uncircumcised man in the Bamasaba culture is considered an outcast, a coward and unworthy of marriage.
If you stand and endure the knife, we regard you as a strong man. We regard you as a security provider, even in homes. Once you're circumcised, even your parents feel free to leave you at home, to guard your sisters, look after animals. Because, he's circumcised. Why do you worry? No, you don't worry, he's circumcised. We take it as a security measure. Because we think if you're not circumcised, first of all, you're a coward. And if for even sake, who will trust a coward?
Another member of the Bamasabas, Moses Kutoi, who underwent the practice, agrees. The circumcision the Bamasaba undergo is very different from a clinical circumcision administered in a hospital under sterile conditions.
They remove three layers from your manhood. In that shortest period of time, the first layer, the thick one, the obvious one, it is not so painful. But there is the second one, which is very light, like soap fume. And then the last one, which is more painful than any other thing on earth. Now, after that, you nurse the wound for a month. And at the end of it all, you remain with a very big scar, permanent scar.
To keep the mood upbeat and give courage to the boys, the community play traditional music, kadori and isonja. The Bamasaba tourism minister, Matthias Nabutere, explains it is important to have young girls at the ceremony in order to dance provocatively for the boys.
The girls dance, they concentrate around the waist. And the communication there is that get circumcised and you enjoy this part here. Every time that he looks at the girl dancing, it reminds him that he should get circumcised, that he can enjoy all the parts of the girl. The dressing is actually there to provoke this younger man.
Although this is a centuries-old practice, Dr. Olaro Charles from the Ministry of Health says that modern health and hygiene standards are observed.
As the preparations for the cultural ceremonies are being made, arrangements have to be made so that there are procedures for sterilization of the equipment, and we would advise that they should avoid sharing the equipment or using the same equipment for a number of individuals.
That's a health expert telling of what they do to ensure that the practice is safe in Uganda, where they're still carrying out this circumcision. That report by Frank Kiga was presented by Sela Oneko. Well, of course, he has justified, but Jane, there are still questions on how safe and how healthy this practice is today.
Absolutely. And that is why I'm saying, as much as the medical experts will tell them you have to use different knives, we don't see them using different knives because they use only one for around like 30 boys. So tell me the diseases that will come with that.
Yeah. So, of course, that is a topic that many are still divided today and continue to support and others not support. So tell us what you think. Go to our DW page on our Facebook page and give us your comments.
Giving Planet Africa.
When it comes to what you eat, the term genetically modified food, GMO, seems to make many people freak out. This is despite a majority of scientists arguing that GM food is safe and there's no need for concerns.
Now, Zippy, experts from five African countries have just concluded a meeting in Ghana discussing ways of preserving traditional seeds as the GMOs campaign continue across the world. They think the whole GMO talk is about culturalization and monetization of food and agriculture, and that the world can sustain its food needs without switching to GMO. Maxwell Souk with that report.
It is lunch break after a long session on the third day of their meeting. Beyond the excitement, it's an issue of the need to sustain food diversity in Africa. Ridwan Mohammed is representing the Institute for Sustainable Development, a local NGO working with farmers from various communities in Africa.
When we talk about diversity, not only the diversity of crops, there is a diversity of diet in that. Therefore, our farmers, once they have a diversity of crops, especially the local crops, they will have a diversified food, which is good for health. Therefore, we are still promoting that, working with our farmers closely on the benefit of preserving and conserving these traditional seeds varieties.
The meeting brought together experts from Kenya, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, and Togo. The aim was to team up with their Ghanaian counterparts in exploring the benefits of sustaining traditional seeds in Africa, despite the current global campaign for farmers to accept genetically modified organism crops. Suleimana Abdullahi, board chairman of the African Biodiversity Network, says GMO is not the way to go.
There isn't much evidence to suggest that genetically modified crops are doing better in terms of building food security or nutrition security or income security for farming communities. In fact, on the contrary, it is shown that indigenous production methods and farming systems, because of the ability to plant more than one crop using locally adapted seeds, but also the fact that farmers actually own the bulk of what they produce. They are food sovereign. They actually own what they produce.
The extinction of traditional seeds is at a higher rate in Togo and South Africa than the rest of the countries, according to the participants. Takalani Mashudu, one of the activists from South Africa, told DW how GMOs are eroding their beliefs and practices.
Of course, we cannot actually communicate with the ancestors by using the GMO seeds, because the seeds actually doesn't actually know the land. There are some chemicals which have been used to actually assist the seeds to grow up. So we really need to use the local seeds that the ancestors know.
Hadi Tijani, head of RAINS, a local NGO in Ghana, also agrees with the cultural perspective of traditional seeds in Africa.
Culture without food is no culture. So when you lose your food, you are losing your identity. So yes, we can talk about increased production, but we also need to recognize that, you know, people around Africa are also very much passionate about their culture.
Increasing crop yield is one of the arguments advanced by proponents of GMO as people begin to see agriculture as a commercial venture. The International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD, says smallholder farmers in Asia and sub-Saharan Africa contribute up to 80% of the food consumed. In Ghana, researchers are currently conducting a trial to find the suitability of GMO crops for the farmers. For now, it is just a matter of time for the world to know who wins the debate.
Maxwell Souk in Ghana. And just to remind you, our top story is South Africa today marked 100 years since Nelson Mandela was born. And Zippy, people are still writing on our Facebook page.
As you can expect, Anthony Johan says if all African leaders followed the steps of Nelson Mandela, Africa should have moved forward more than the present state. But our leaders have refused to give up power for the younger generation.
And John Hillary says, if African leaders would be like Mandela, I believe that Africa will leave the position of having a third world countries.
And one last one here from Mark Delt, who says, Nelson Mandela taught African dictators lessons which they have deliberately refused to learn.
So keep that conversation going on our Facebook page at DW Africa. My name is Jen Nyinge.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.